I then asked the next question. I said, so can I just clarify? You said you were read into a UFO retrieval program. I said, how many were you told had been retrieved? Multiple. And I went, multiple. I said, did you ever see these? And he went, no. He was very short, very brief in his answers. And I said, so are you saying, though, that you were told that there is an active program underway to re-engineer this technology? Yes. And then he was getting irksome with me because he said something like, and I was never read out of it, so I probably shouldn't go any further. And so I sort of decided not to push him too hard. And so we spent another couple of weeks talking about other projects that he'd been involved in. I mean, it was just such a privilege to talk to him because he was there in the very peak of the Cold War with the US Navy, building, you know, some of the most incredible technology that the US Navy is using. And their China Lake facility that they use for testing their technology is, you know, long the subject of UFO mysteries. Actually, by the way, one of the things I said to him, I said, oh, there's all these rumors that you've got corridors underneath, you know, and subterranean chambers underneath China Lake. And he laughed and he says, not as far as I know. And he says, I think I'd know about it if there was. And so I was beginning to get a bit despondent because he told me that he was read into a UFO retrieval program. He told me that he was read into a program that was re-engineering UFOs. And he really wouldn't tell me any more than that. At one stage, he said to me, to protect you, meaning me. And so I sort of went sideways. He told me that he'd set up his own company where he was a specialist in a type of extremely sophisticated welding called electron beam welding, EB welding. And it's a type of welding that leaves a very, very faint, you don't get the same welt that you would get with a normal weld. And he had a company called, I think it's NKA, Nat Kovitz Associates. And he did things like the sophisticated welds that held the C5 Galaxy undercarriage together, you know, bonding different types of metal. So he was very good. He was like an expert at bonding different types of metal together in really strong welds. And so when he was running that private company, after he'd left that senior role as kind of like senior geek at the US Navy, he gets a phone call from Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Foreign Technology Division. And they ask him to come out at the Air Force's expense to Wright-Patt. And I just loved it at that point. I said, oh, were you taken down underground? And he goes, I was. And then I suddenly realize he's serious and he's just about to tell me, the clear inference, he's about to tell me that he's seen something not of this world. And this is his big give. And he describes being taken into this room and shown a large lump of metal that was incredibly light. And he says it was incredibly strong. It was like a bulkhead. It was clearly a bulkhead of some kind. And he said that he wouldn't name the metals involved, but he knew the metals involved. He recognized the metals involved. He didn't know whether they had different isotopic ratios from terrestrial isotopic ratios. But he was asked to look at the metals and to see whether the type of bonding that had been used was electron beam bonding, which was and still is the best way of bonding these kind of metals. And I forgot exactly what he said, but he said something to me like, I could not explain what it was, that those metals were bonded at the atomic level. And he said, it's nothing I've ever seen before. He said, it's way beyond my science.
Wow.
And so essentially he was, and I said to him, I said, so are you saying that was extraterrestrial, not human technology? And he went, Russ, I just don't know. He says, I don't know what it was. So I'd sure like to find out. And so he put me onto a whole series of people. And God bless him. I actually get quite emotional when I think about him because he became quite a good friend. I loved talking to him. And he introduced me to quite a number of people who one of whom he knew was involved in the program, and others who he knew were on the periphery of the program. And as a result of those conversations, which were by and large on a background basis, not for attribution, I was suddenly finding my worldview was turned upside down, because I can kind of buy the idea that we have vehicles or craft from another dimension or another galaxy, or maybe it's another nation state that's developed incredibly advanced technology. But the notion that there were, oh, in fact, he also talked about bodies. He actually, when he was talking about recovered craft, he also told me he'd been briefed that there were recovered bodies.
Oh my gosh.
And so my worldview's like rocking at this stage, and I'm still thinking, whoa, I've just had one of the most senior scientists in the US Defense Department, former, admit to me that he was read into a UFO crash retrieval program. I've spoken to well over 20 people now. What I was told consistently was the technology is mind-blowing, and they are not in a position to be able to engineer it yet, because it's just light years beyond what we have. It's a completely new type of physics, is what one person said to me. And you might be interested in this, Jay, because of the sort of direction that your interests have taken. Without expanding on it, one of the people I spoke to told me that it had a lot to do with a mind interface connection with the engineering, yeah. that it was driven by some kind of consciousness or some kind of intelligent connection with machinery that was beyond our understanding. Having heard it from Nat and having heard it from multiple other sources, I am absolutely certain that the United States government has recovered non-human technology. Absolutely certain. And I think that technology includes craft. You know, the Defense Department of the United States has admitted this is real. There is a technology, craft, that are operating in our skies, oceans, and orbit, which is beyond known human science. And then I have experts inside the defense intelligence infrastructure of the United States telling me that indeed they have recovered technology. Now, the reason I'm cautious is because one of the things I'm wise to, if you know your Cold War history, is it could very well be that one of the scientists that cooperated with me took his letter from me to the Defense Department, and they've deliberately fed a line to me through multiple sources to get me excited, to leave me either underwhelmed by the level of development that the United States has made into this technology, or to perhaps even give a bit of a warning shot to the US's allies to suggest that, yes, they may indeed be more advanced than you think. There are forces inside the military intelligence complex of the United States who are trying to control the narrative, to stop the public, one, from holding them to account for the lies and crimes committed in the past 75 years. They've deliberately started the investigation for the UAP task force from 2004, the date of the Nimitz incident, as if it all suddenly happened from that date.
Right.
And even the US Air Force put out a press release basically saying it was now going to start investigating this issue because, golly, no, what ho, we've discovered a problem. Gosh, we had no idea. And yet if you go back through your history, the US Air Force particularly has been at the absolute forefront of the cover-up. Yes. And this is what I was told by people on my most recent visit to the United States. I was told that the Russians have recovered their own technology, craft, and that they are doing an active re-engineering program in a facility somewhere in the Ural Mountains, which is in the middle of buttfuck nowhere, way out in Russia. What I'm being told is that the Chinese are playing catch-up, that they are actively trying to find out what the US has and what the Russians have got, but that the Russians do have a craft or something equating to a craft, and that the Americans have multiple. And I'm told that literally hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars, is and has been expended on trying master this technology. And, you know, the funny thing about this is, as I'm saying this, I have no doubt at all there will be some fuckwit from the science side of things or the military government side of things who says, this is just a load of bullshit. This journalist has bought into a paranoid conspiracy theory held by a fringe group of ufologists. Let them say it. The bottom line is, I'm in a position now to be reasonably sure from my sources that that's the case. And the interesting thing is, I think that what's going on, rolling right back even to the US Air Force's engagement with Tom DeLonge and TTSA to the STARS Academy, this has all been an attempt to control the narrative, to constrain how much the American public, the international public, is told. Because I think any craft is the crown jewels. It's worth lying about it. If I was the US president and I knew that my country had a craft that represents technology thousands of years in the future, and that we're pouring resources in trying to master that technology, I would lie about it. I would conceal it as long as I could. It's like the Manhattan Project of the 21st century,
right?
Because you would know if you can crack that technology, you are light years ahead of your rivals.
Yes.
And the Russians and the Chinese know that. So there is this battle going on in private between nation states, fighting over who develops this technology first. Well,